This is Henry Simon, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have for obvious reasons been changed. In one moment, the search for Grace Mossman, address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
He was a tall man with hollow cheeks and bright, penetrating eyes. His lightish brown hair was thinning on the top, and his brow was furrowed with countless wrinkles, which made him look older than his 48 years. A successful novelist, he had scaled the heights of fame and fortune, and was known throughout the world as both a writer and a thinker of considerable merit. His name was Howard Mossman, and I met him for the first time on a day in the April of 1954, when he visited my office. Here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
I understand your organization has something of a reputation for discretion, as well as for tracing people, Mr. Simon.
I like to think so.
Would I be correct in assuming, then, that anything I tell you will not be repeated outside this office?
You would be. Certainly not without your consent.
Please forgive me if I appear to be overcautious, but the matter I have to discuss with you is, to me, both painful and degrading. I'm a proud man, Mr. Simon, immensely proud. Which is why I find it so difficult to admit, even to you, a stranger, that my wife has left me for another man. Do you mind if I smoke, by the way?
Not at all.
I've always maintained a man's pipe's his best friend. Never fails to offer consolation when he needs it most. Moreover, if packed with care, it remains faithful to the last puff, which is more than can be said of horse, dog, or woman. Do I sound bitter, Mr. Simon?
A trifle.
With just cause, I think. Well, for the past 7 years, I've devoted myself to playing the role of the perfect husband. I've been generous, affectionate, thoughtful, and indulgent. Indeed, I might go so far as to say that I have displayed all the virtues of a saint. Here I am, forsaken, left to stew in the juice of my own misplaced adoration.
Quite. Are you acquainted with him?
Acquainted with whom?
The other man.
Dear Simon, he is, or rather he was, my secretary.
Your secretary?
Though it pains me to say so, the best I ever had.
Had you always employed male secretaries?
I have. Randolph is my third.
Randolph?
Randolph Ewing. A young man of many talents, including that of wife-snatching.
How long was he with you?
Some 6 months. Gaged him in October last year.
See? And what were his duties exactly?
Shorthand typing, mainly. He'd take down what I said, then type it up for my revision. He was previously a court stenographer.
You worked at home?
Always.
So he was at your house quite a good deal of the time.
He was there all the time. He lived with us.
He lived with you?
Owing to the irregularity of my working schedule, it was necessary to have him on hand 24 hours of the day.
Oh.
Oddly enough, the dangers of the situation never occurred to me. Perhaps because I had such complete faith in my wife. Or should I say, in my ability to retain her affection.
When did she leave you?
They left together.
Yes, but when?
Sometime on Saturday night last. I'd been asked to deliver a lecture to the Luton Cultural Society. I left home shortly after 4 in the afternoon, arrived back a little after midnight.
To find their gun, eh?
In his car. He kept it with mine in the garage.
Did anyone happen to see them leave?
Not to my knowledge.
Did they take much with them?
My wife took 2 suitcases, presumably full of clothing. Ewing moved out bag and baggage.
And they left no note? No sort of message?
It was hardly necessary. The truth was obvious.
Before this, had you had any reason to suspect their relationship might be more than it seemed?
If it had, I wouldn't be here now. I'd have acted then and there, thrown the bounder out on the spot. But now you've raised the question, it's a curious thing. When he first came here to work for me, she appeared to have some sort of grudge against him.
Grudge?
Yes, I vividly recall her voicing the fact that she didn't trust him. At the time, he'd been with me no more than a week. I remember I was in my study, reading over the draft of a chapter I'd written the previous day. It was quite late at night. I was under the impression that she'd retired hours before.
Howard, I want to talk to you.
My dear Grace, I thought you were in bed.
I was, but I couldn't sleep. He'll have to go, Howard. I don't trust him.
Who?
Your new secretary, Ewing, or whatever his name is.
Has he done something to upset you?
No, I just don't like him, that's all. He sets my nerves on edge.
Seems a harmless enough sort of fellow.
To you, perhaps. Not to me.
You must have some reason for disliking him.
I told you, he makes me nervous.
My dear, he's a first-class secretary. Moreover, he has excellent references.
I don't give a darn about his references. I just want him out of the house.
Grace, you're carrying on like a child. Now, why not go back to bed and sleep on it? You'll feel differently in the morning.
That's what scares me.
Scares you?
Please tell him to go, Howard. For me, darling. Please.
Oh, I am sorry, my dear. Even though I wanted to, I couldn't. He's far too valuable to me at the present time. It might take me weeks to replace him. I can't afford the delay.
Very well, then. But don't say I didn't warn you.
Warn me? About what?
I don't trust him, Howard. He'll make trouble. I know he will. I know it as surely as I'm standing here. Just you see if I'm not right. Just you.
And there it was, Simon. I'd never known her to behave in such an extraordinary and unmotivated fashion before. Contrary. Her logic was something I'd always admired.
Did she keep at you to dismiss him?
That's the incredible part about it. She never said another word.
And you didn't broach the matter yourself?
Well, I thought it best let well alone.
How old is your wife, Mr. Mawson?
29.
A good deal younger than yourself.
19 years.
And Ewing, how old would he be?
Somewhere in the vicinity of 30, I'd imagine.
Would you say that he'd be attractive to the opposite sex?
Grace must have found him, sir?
Not at first, apparently. Unless, of course, she happened to have a premonition of what was going to come and was trying to avoid it. But putting aside that aspect of it for the moment, what are your intentions towards her exactly?
My intentions?
You want her found, but why?
Confound it, because she's my wife. Why else?
You intend to take her back?
For the time being, certainly. But surely you must see, Simon, if it gets out that she's left me for Ewing, I'll be held up to public ridicule. It may even affect the sale of my books.
But surely under the circumstances...
The circumstances are that I will not be made a fool of by Grace or anyone else. If she wants a divorce, she may have one, but only on my terms.
And if she's not agreeable to your terms?
She will be. Have no fears about that. Anna, all you have to do, Simon, is to find her. I'll take over from there.
So he's mainly concerned about his dignity, ain't she?
Not mainly, Studies. Solely. He seems to have some sort of fixation. He's going to be the object of ridicule. That's why he wants her traced as soon as possible. For the truth has a chance of leaking out.
Yes, it's almost certain to do, unless he's dead lucky. He's a pretty big name in the literary field.
Yes, bigger than most.
What do you make of this other business about her warning him that Ewing wasn't to be trusted?
As things stand, I'd rather not theorize. She could have had any number of reasons. But for the time being, that's not important. What is important, of course, or could be, is the fact that Ewing is a married man.
No.
According to Mossman, he's separated from his wife, but he still visits her sometimes, see their young daughter.
Where can she be contacted, did he know?
Oh, they had a house somewhere in Southdown. He seems to think that she's still there.
What address?
He wasn't sure. Plenty of small town, of course. Shouldn't be too difficult to find out. I'd suggest that you question a few of the local storekeepers. One of them would be bound to know.
Uh-huh. I don't know the area myself. How do I get there?
Oh, it's not very far short of Canterbury. Your best bet would be to take a train from Charing Cross. Some 35 miles southeast of London, in the heart of Kent, Southdown could most aptly be described as a rural village, nestling among the hills on the fringe of Canterbury. On arriving there, a little over 2 hours later, Study went first to the general store, which, although small, appeared to stock everything from groceries to antique furniture.
Hello there. Anybody around?
Come in, come in. Yeah. Yes. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I'm looking for a Mrs. Ewing, who lives somewhere around these parts. I thought you might be able to direct me.
Ewing, you say?
That's right. Roma Ewing.
Yes. Turn left as you go out. The house at the end of the street, next door to the church on the far side.
It was a small cottage with a thatched roof, and it looked as if it might have been standing there for centuries. The garden was well tended, and the front door had recently been painted. On the tiny veranda was a child's rocking horse.
Yes?
Mrs. Ewing?
Yes?
Oh, good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Study. I'm from the Missing Persons Bureau.
Missing Persons?
Yes, I'm here in connection with your husband.
Oh?
Have you got any idea where he might be?
Well, I haven't seen him for some weeks. We've been living apart for more than a year now.
You haven't heard from him at all recently?
No. Is he in some trouble?
Well, to be quite frank, he's disappeared with his employer's wife.
Oh.
You may know that in the past 6 months or so, he's been working for Howard Mossman, the novelist.
Howard Mossman?
Yes.
No, I didn't know.
You look kind of shocked.
Grace of all people.
You know Mrs. Mossman?
I should say so. She's my half-sister.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
Study stared at Roma Ewing in blank amazement. Grace Mossman, a half-sister? Surely the woman must be joking. But no, there was no sort of humor in her eyes as she returned his gaze, and no suggestion of a smile on her lips.
Pardon the sagging jaw, ma'am. I don't always look like this, but I don't get it. You and Mrs. Mossman are half-sisters. How come Mossman didn't tell me?
Apparently he doesn't know.
You never met him?
No.
But when your husband went to work for him, well, surely something must have been said, either by him or Mrs. Mossman herself.
Unless they decided to keep it secret.
Secret? But why should they?
Perhaps because of what they'd meant to each other in the past.
They'd meant to each other?
You see, at one time, they were engaged to be married.
Your husband and Grace Mossman?
I took him away from her. He married me instead.
But
That was 9 years ago. Grace and I haven't seen each other or had any contact since. Our parents are dead. We have no remaining ties.
You knew that she was married to Mossman?
Only because I read it in the newspapers. Other than that, I couldn't tell you a thing about her. Except that I'd never have thought her the type to desert her husband. She always had such strict views on things like that.
Yes. Tell me, she'd be just a little younger than you, wouldn't she?
2 years. My mother died soon after I was born, and father married again about 12 months later.
Uh-huh, I understand. Tell me, no other family?
Not to speak of. Oh, we have some cousins somewhere in Canada and an aunt in South Africa, but no one really close.
Hmm. You say you've been separated from your husband for over a year?
Just over, yes.
Well, is it a legal separation or just a...
Oh, no, purely by agreement. We weren't getting on too well, so we decided it was the only thing.
And you yourself, you have a daughter, I understand.
Yes, little Carolyn. She's 7.
Hmm. Does he contribute to her upkeep?
He has so far.
Does he come to see her?
Usually about once a month. Although it must be a good 6 weeks since he was here last.
And he made no mention of having resumed his acquaintance with your half-sister?
No, none at all.
Hmm. Is there anybody you can think of who might know where he is? A friend, maybe, an acquaintance?
Oh, well, there's Jack Holliday.
Jack Holliday?
He and Randy have been on friendly terms for years. As a matter of fact, he was the best man at our wedding.
Oh, I see. And where can I reach him?
He used to have a flat in Turner Square.
Turner Square, near Victoria Station?
Yes. Oh, but I forget the name of the block. Something Court. Oh, it's a huge place. You'd be bound to notice that it takes up all sides of the square.
Oh, yeah, matter of fact, I think I do know it.
He may not still be there, of course, but I'd say it's definitely worth a try.
Returning to London, Studdy proceeded immediately to Turner Square in Victoria. Checking at the service desk of Archer Court Flats, he was told that there was a Mrs. J. Holliday, a tenant in Block C, flat number 124. Said J. Holliday proved to be the very gentleman in question. He was a stockily built man with dark wavy hair and a closely trimmed moustache. As it happened, he'd just returned home from work, and he invited the agent to join him in a bottle of beer.
Yes, Mr. Studdy, I've known Randy for years. We went to school together. Practically grew up in each other's pockets.
Yeah. And you were best man at his wedding, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Well, tell me, what was the situation there exactly, between his wife and the sister? Wasn't he engaged to Grace first?
For a while. It was a bit of a mess-up all round. They had some form of argument. He started going out with Roma. Next thing, they were married. A big slap in the eye for Grace.
They've had nothing to do with each other since, apparently. Her and Roma.
No. That's a great pity. They used to be as thick as thieves. Nice girls, both of them, but, well, not what you'd call Randy's type. Frankly, I was surprised he and Roma stuck together as long as they did. They were totally unsuited. Didn't have a thing in common. Which, of course, he walked up the aisle still carrying a torch for Grace. Not exactly what you'd call the ideal basis for marriage.
How do you mean, though, still carrying a torch for Grace?
Well, I could be wrong. But I always had the impression he married Roma more to console himself than anything else. On the rebound, as they say. Grace had thrown him over, so he clutched at the nearest thing inside.
Which happened to be Roma, huh?
Yeah. Of course, the trouble with Randy is that he's weak. Always has been. He needs something to snap him out of himself. We'll grab hold of that beer, it's getting played.
Yeah. Don't tell old Simon I was drinking on duty. When was the last time you heard from him?
Oh, 2-3 weeks ago. He stopped by for a chat.
You knew that he was working for Grace's husband?
Yes, I knew.
Is that why he took the job, to be near her?
Well, I'm not sure. It's possible, even probable. Although he'd never admit it.
He didn't give you any reason to believe that they were playing up behind Mossman's back?
No. After he took the job, he barely ever spoke to her. Passing, of course, but never anything pertinent. If he has gone off with her, he's an even bigger fool than I thought he was.
Yeah, not too much if about it. As far as I can see, it's open and shut. Where are they? Yeah, that's the question.
I just thought of something. I tell you, someone who might know something, Stan Gifford.
Stan Gifford? Who's he?
Well, he and Randy worked together for a while. He has a sort of weekender up in the Lakes District, just out of Windermere. Matter of fact, we spent a week up there not so long ago, the three of us. Yes. It occurs to me. If Randy was planning a hasty retreat, that's just where he might have gone.
It duly transpired that Stan Gifford, like Holliday, a bachelor, was living at his parents' home in Latimer Road from John's Wood, where the agent interviewed him that very same evening. He was a short, somewhat rakish-looking young man, with protruding front teeth, which gave him the effect of a perpetual smile.
Now, what's all this about, Mr. Studdy? Has Randy landed himself in hot water, or what?
No, it's nothing like that. He's just gone into smoke, and his boss wants to contact him. He figured you might be able to throw some light on the subject.
Why me?
Well, according to Jack Halliday, Holliday, that is, you have a weekender up at Windermere.
Yes, that's right.
We were wondering if he might have gone there. Well, has he?
Well, actually, he asked me not to tell anyone. That, I suppose, if Jack suggested it, I suppose it's all right. Yes, he's up there.
Alone?
Oh, far as I know. Why?
Just curious. I had a sort of a feeling he might have had company.
Accordingly, the following morning, Studdy set out for the town of Windermere, on the shores of the famous Lake Windermere, a 12-mile expanse of water forming the border between the counties of Westmoreland and Lancashire. On his arrival late that afternoon, following the instructions given to him by Gifford, he proceeded by foot in the direction of Ambleside, which is on the northern tip of the lake, at length encountering a cluster of some poor weatherboard cottages, set well back, some 50 yards from the water's edge, and separated by flimsy wire-netting fences. Three were obviously closed up, but the front door of the fourth happened to be open, and at the agent's approach a man appeared from somewhere at the back. He was clad in shorts and a T-shirt. His feet were bare, he limped slightly, and he had a bandage about his right ankle.
Looking for someone? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. You, by any chance you wouldn't be Randolph Ewing?
That's me.
Hi. Been looking all over for you. I'm Paul Studdy, Missing Persons Bureau.
Don't tell me I've been posted missing.
Yeah? You and Grace Mossman both. I'm here on behalf of her husband.
I guess that much. Well, you're a little late.
Huh?
Yes, Grace isn't here. She left this morning.
She left? From where?
London. She's gone back home.
Ewing smiled, pulling a packet of cigarettes from his pocket and lighting one with an expensive-looking silver lighter, initialed G.M.
This is hers, by the way. She left it behind. It's not likely I'll be seeing her again, so perhaps you'd better take charge of it.
Hey, let me get this straight. You say she's gone back to Mossman?
That's right. If you don't believe me, you can always telephone. She would be there by this.
You know, I've come across some screwy setups in my life, but this one's got me beat. What do you say you put me in the picture?
With pleasure. Actually, it's a lot less complicated than it may seem.
Brother, it'd want to be.
As you probably know, Grace and I were engaged to be married.
Yeah?
We had a quarrel and broke it off. With the result that I finished up marrying her sister. It was a mistake. But having taken the plunge, there wasn't much I could do about it. I was married to Roma, but I couldn't get Grace off my mind. She stood between us like an invisible barrier. A barrier that grew larger and larger with the passing of each year. In the end, I couldn't stick it any longer, so I got out. Much for Roma's sake as my own. Then a few months later, this job with Mossman came up. I knew he was married to Grace, and I thought if I saw her again, it might help me to get back on the rails.
Uh-huh.
At first, she wouldn't speak to me. She even asked her husband to dismiss me. But it soon became fairly obvious that she felt as much the same way about me as I did her.
So you picked up where you left off, huh?
It was a gradual process, but that's what it amounted to. And I'm convinced it was the saving of both of us. We knew it couldn't go on indefinitely, so we decided to go away together. That did the trick, Study. We hadn't been here more than a few days when we realized our great love was something that belonged to the past. It was finished. Done with. We'd been chasing a dream.
It was some chase.
8 long years.
So what happens now?
I fell and gashed my ankle the other day. A local doctor put some stitches in it. It'll be removed in the morning. Then I'm going back to Roma, if she'll have me. I honestly believe we can make a success of our marriage yet, just as I believe Grace can make a success of hers. I could be wrong, of course, but if I am, there's one thing I can promise you. It won't be for want of trying. Thank you.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
There doesn't seem to be very much point in dwelling on the moral aspects of this story, so I'll just conclude by saying that Ewing is now reunited with his wife, who recently gave birth to a second daughter. Grace Mossman and her husband have since gone to America to live, the latter presumably having chosen, wisely I think, to forgive and to forget. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you